Today's reading is from the book of Psalms, chapter 139, verses 1 through 6, 13 through 18. This is one of my favorite psalms. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind, and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Please stand as you are comfortable for the gospel reading of the first chapter of John, verses 43 through 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, I practiced that, the city of Andrew and Peter. Peter found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Nazareth, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you come to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please be.
Good morning, church. I am honored to have been asked by Pastor Kim to speak this morning on Human Relations Day. I will be talking about the path to a beloved community. The phrase beloved community is credited to philosopher and theologian Josiah Royce, who was born in 1855 and made his transition in 1916. Royce, who founded the Fellowship of Reconciliation, asserted that his life meant nothing, either theoretically or practically, unless he was a member of a community. He believed that in addition to our everyday community experiences, there is also a beloved community made up of those dedicated to the cause of loyalty, truth, and reality itself. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. later joined the fellowship movement, and he actually popularized the term during the civil rights movement, beloved community. As United Methodists, we celebrate the second Sunday after the Epiphany and the Sunday before the national observance of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday as Human Relations Day. As United Methodists, we see Human Relations Day as the right of all of God's children in realizing their potential as human beings in relationship to one another. As such, our church has special offerings to help build and support the beloved community. I recall that in 1987, a clerk in a school library where I was working as a speech pathologist was angry that I put up a display, which I had the blessing of the principal for doing, honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in her library. Just as I was about to remind her that I outranked her, she said, "But it's your holiday." Just as I was about to remind her that thanks to being a fourth generation college graduate, I outranked her and I would put up any bulletin board I wanted to celebrate a man who dedicated his life to eradicating the very de facto racism that was swirling around in her little head, I remembered Dr. Martin Luther King's message on this very issue. The information that I'm going to present today doesn't come from me. It comes from Stanford University and the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Research and Education Institution. On December 4th, 1957, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivered an address at the General Assembly of the National Council of Churches. This was his second address in which he charged that too many ministers were silent while evil raged. He called upon church leaders to be maladjusted to social injustice. He called upon them to be maladjusted like the prophet Amos, who in the midst of tragic injustices cried out, "Let judgment run down like waters and righteousness like the mighty stream." King said to be maladjusted like Lincoln, who understood that a country could not be half free and half slave. Maladjusted like Jesus of Nazareth, who looked at the men of his generation and said, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you." Dr. King used the term maladjusted to mean the opposite of adjusted to, or the opposite of acceptance of injustices in the world. Biblically, we're all taught Matthew 22:37-40. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbors as thyself." But how do we get there in a world where people claim to adhere to Matthew 22, but in reality, consciously or unconsciously, they engage in behaviors to diminish the opportunities for all to enjoy our beloved community? In 1957, the issue was segregation and the deprivation of the right to be seen and treated as an equal human being, bestowed with certain unalienable rights such as life, liberty, and happiness. Today, I will argue that in 2024, the issues are still segregation and the right, and the deprivation of the right to be seen and treated as an equal human being, bestowed with certain unalienable rights such as life, liberty, and happiness. There are those in our society who seek to restrict rights based upon race, ethnicity, social economic status, gender identification, dating, and marital preferences. How do we as Christians address these issues? Dr. King gave us the blueprint during his life of pursuing these unalienable rights for those being oppressed in our society. Nonviolence was not just a method of not physically taking down your oppressor. It is a method of attacking the forces of evil rather than the person caught up in the force. The path of nonviolence was not just to avoid external violence, because we all know that these people face dogs, water hoses, lynchings, bombings, and other forms of physical violence, but nonviolence also avoided the violence of the spirit. The belief is that retaliating with bitterness and hate only intensifies the existence of bitterness and hate in the universe. The method is physically passive, but passively strong. The method is physically passive, but spiritually strong. As Dr. King illuminated in his speech, Mahatma K. Gandhi used the principles of nonviolence to free India from the political domination and economic exploitation of the British Empire. Dr. King listed 5 principles. Number 1, nonviolence, which he said was nothing more and nothing less than Christianity in action. He believed that nonviolence was the Christian way of solving problems of human relations. It was not stagnant passivity or cowardice. The user of nonviolence is using his mind and emotions to constantly persuade the opponent that he is mistaken. In essence, the user of nonviolence is spiritually strong. Nonviolence, number two, nonviolence does not humiliate or defeat the opponent. It seeks to win his or her friendship and understanding. The use of boycotts and non-cooperation are designed to awaken the moral shame of the opponent, resulting in redemption and reconciliation. The aftermath should be a beloved community as opposed to the aftermath of violence, which is tragic bitterness, which we have seen time and time again with Rodney King, George Floyd, tragic bitterness. Number three, nonviolence attacks the forces of evil rather than the person caught up in the forces of evil. Number four, Dr. King stressed that oppressed people must not become bitter or indulge in hate campaigns, as that only intensifies the existence of hate in the universe. Therefore, love is an important principle in nonviolence. Dr. King was speaking of the Greek word for love, agape, meaning understanding, creative, redeeming, goodwill for all men. The fifth principle is that nonviolent resistance is based on the conviction that the universe is always on the side of justice. It is this deep faith that causes a nonviolent actor to accept suffering without retaliation, because he knows that his struggle for justice has a cosmic companion. But how do we, as Christians, as followers of Jesus of Nazareth, who is nailed to the cross in the face of injustice in our world, pursue Dr. King's dream of a beloved community? Dr. King reminded us that those who call the name of Jesus Christ find something at the center of our faith, which forever reminds us that God is on the side of truth and justice. Dr. King closed by stating that the world is in desperate need of maladjustment. Through courageous maladjustment, we will be able to emerge from the bleak and desolate midnight of man's inhumanity to man into the bright and glittering daybreak of freedom and justice. And this will be the day when we will be able to sing, by the grace of God, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and shall reign forever and ever. Alleluia, alleluia. Following his speech, the assembly of the National Council of Churches was so impressed that Dr. King received sustained applause. So I ask us as Christians in 2024, how do we, in the words of Dr. King, become maladjusted to the forces of evil which seek to deny our brothers and sisters the right to vote, the right to make decisions about their family planning and reproductive health care, the right to live in any community they can afford, the right to worship as they choose, the right to shop without being profiled, the right to walk down the street and enjoy life without being profiled, the right to engage in a traffic stop without losing their life, and the right to express their political views without being attacked, and the right to read any age-appropriate book of their choosing. Dr. King asked us to become maladjusted. I assert that in 2024, the development of the beloved community will require all of us to look at our emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence involves our self-awareness in a situation, our communication skills with others, our motivations, our ability to accept, our ability to trust, and our ability to engage in conflict management. In order to build the beloved community, we will understand that peaceful nonviolence is the path to solving conflicts without hostility, resentment, or ill will, Some call it a win-win. We call it the beloved community. May we all go forward as Christians and engage in practices and behaviors which lift up our lives and our community members' lives. Glory be to God.